This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Indeed, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessings of Allah jalla wa ala be upon His final messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So, as was mentioned by the brothers, jazaham Allah khaira, that the title of the reminder is The Chronicles of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And of course, there is always a challenge when one is preparing a lecture. You try best prepare yourself for the lecture so that you maximize yourself first and foremost, the benefit, and then inshallah ta'ala those who will listen to the advice or the reminder. But for myself, I guess there's an added challenge in that I did the exact same lecture last year. So as not just to repeat myself, I will try to mention or find some things which are slightly different from the last. Otherwise, maybe you think that he didn't do much homework, he just repeating the same lecture as last year. So I'll try to mention some different things that I didn't mention, or at least the rerun is not the same as the first. So, of course, the story of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is one of the stories that is mentioned in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some detail. And it is only really Musa alayhi salatu wasalam that you find who is mentioned in greater detail. So therefore, his great significance for anyone who reads the Quran or wants to understand Islam, that the figure of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is a pivotal figure, is a very important individual alayhi salam. So from the start, there are different aqwal, different views or opinions as to who Isa alayhi salam, who he was. Al-qawl al-awwal, the first opinion, is that he was not a prophet and that he was eventually crucified. And this is what is found in the scripture of, or the belief of, the Yahud, the Jews, that he was not a prophet. Al-qawl al-thani is that Isa alayhi salam was in fact the embodiment of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, iyath billah, that Allah came in the form of a man, appeared to his creation in the form of a man, and depending on the different ideas or methodology or madhabs of the Christians, whether he is part of the Trinity or not, but as a divine being. This is the second opinion. Al-qawl al-thalith, the third opinion, is that Isa alayhi salam was a prophet and messenger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That he was not in the embodiment, that he is not the son or the literal begotten son of Allah, iyadh billah, nor was he a person who claimed to be a prophet, but was indeed a prophet and a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, the correct opinion, the sound opinion, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in his kitab, that he is a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-qawl al-thalith, the third opinion. And this is the belief of the Muslims. So of course, the second opinion is the opinion of the Christians. So you find the belief in Isa alayhi salam is middle road, if you like, is the middle opinion in terms of how we view Isa alayhi salam. There is no extreme belief with regards to Isa alayhi salam in that rejection of him, or in fact going to worshipping him. Now the fact that I mentioned aqwal on an issue or differences of opinion on the matter shouldn't give any credence to the differences of opinion. And this is an important principle for Muslims to know and recognize, is that the fact that there may be a difference or a difference of opinion is mentioned on a matter doesn't give any credence necessarily to the other opinions. There is a khilafun mu'tabar, there is an accepted difference of opinion. Khilafun sa'iq, if you like to call it. There's a difference of opinion we can accept. And then there's a difference of opinion which is totally unacceptable. So the fact that I mentioned those opinions, just to make that clear, it's not out of that, well, there are some differences of opinion. In fact, there's no, according to the haqq, there is absolutely no differences of opinion. The second point to mention is with regards to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And when we talk about Isa alayhi salam, of course we have to go and mention that what preceded him alayhi salam, that he came from a noble family. And when I mention a noble family, it is not a subjective opinion that, mashallah, they were salihun, that they were, you know, righteous people. No, Allah tabaraka ta'ala tells us, Inna Allah astafa, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, or rather chose, from his people, different generations. And from them, Ali Imran, the family of Imran. And the individual Imran will make clear as to how important or how his part of the story is important to us. However, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he is mentioned in the Quran about 34 times. 34. 25 of those, if you like, directly as Isa alayhi salam. And at other times he's mentioned Al-Masih. And at other times Ibn Maryam. So this Prophet and Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressed by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala by different ways, different names, totaling 34. So Al-Masih Ibn Maryam, Al-Masih, Isa, these are different names that are given to him alayhi salatu wasalam in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for a prophet to be mentioned so frequently in the Quran, so extensively, means, as I mentioned at the beginning, the story is pivotal, because the story hasn't ended for us as Muslims. I mentioned this as well, that the story of Isa alayhi salam, not like all other prophets, that their stories were mentioned from at times beginning to the end, or what we know about some of their prophets have ended. However, we'll try to touch on some of these issues a little bit later. That the story of Isa alayhi salam has chapters that are yet to play out, chapters that are yet to happen. So first let us start with that, as I mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose descendants from his people, from Adam alayhi salam to Nuh to Ibrahim and the family of Imran. This is mentioned in Surah Ali Imran in verse number 34. Inna Allah astafa Adam wa Nuhan wa Ali Ibrahim wa Ali Imran ala al-alamin. And that they were generations one from the other. These verses that are mentioned in Surah Ali Imran, Allah tabarak ta'ala then goes on to mention the detailed somewhat story of the beginnings of Imran and the family of Imran. And that his wife, who is known as, not mentioned of course in the verses, but, and it is important for us to mention that when we are piecing this, if you like, this story together, there are parts in which the Quran mentions in one chapter, and then there are others that are mentioned in other chapters. And or the Qasas al-Anbiya, the stories of the prophets by Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, is a good resource for all of us to go back to. If you haven't heard of it, it's the stories of the prophets by Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah. And in that, he will piece together the different ayat in an orderly fashion, along with the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, in, if you like, enriching the story. And at times also mentioning some of the riwayat or the narrations of Bani Israel, which are known as Israeliyat. Israeliyat, narrations which are taken from Banu Israel. Again, which are mentioned to enrich the story. Now, any of those narrations from Israeliyat, which are in clearly against the texts that we find in the authentic Sunnah, then we reject them outright. And then there are certain narrations which are established, that the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ will establish, and we agree with. And then thirdly, that there are these narrations, Israeliyat, which, if you like, don't have much of a chain. But they're taken from, as I mentioned, Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book before us, which we put a question mark over. لَا نُكَذِّبُ وَلَا نُصَدِّقُ. That we cannot say for sure it is certain knowledge. And also similarly, we cannot outright deny it. We say, Allahu A'lam, maybe. But Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he mentions these, or at least some of these narrations, in his book, Qasasul Anbiya. So when you refer to it, this is, or these are the things that are mentioned, the ayat, the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, concerning the story of the Prophet, the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning that as well, also Israeliyat, as I've made clear as to what there are, what they are, and also his own opinion, rahimahullah, as to what we should and how we should understand these different sources. The primary source for us, of course, is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this verse that I mentioned to you in Surah Ali Imran, in verse number 34, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story of Imran and his wife. The wife is not mentioned in the ayah, but it is mentioned from narrations, as I mentioned, from Israeliyat, Hanna. She gives, or she is now pregnant. And this was something that she was yearning for a long time, and she became pregnant. It is said that Imran, that he passed away while she was pregnant. He passed away while she was pregnant. And so therefore she is alone. She is alone. And while she is pregnant, she wants to dedicate her child so that that child will be in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, where are we talking about this story taking place? Baytul Maqdis. Baytul Maqdis. It's called Jerusalem. Baytul Maqdis. This is the area that we are talking about in Palestine. Ardul Anbiya, the land of the prophets. So this is the area that we are talking about. It is a place in which Allah tabaraka ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Isra, Barakna Hawla, that it is a blessed place. So whoever has the ability to visit should absolutely go and visit. There is Masjid Al-Aqsa, and there is great reward for praying in this masjid. This is the place where the Isra and the Mi'raj took place with our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is the first Qibla of the Muslims. The first Qibla of the Muslims. The Muslims used to pray towards Masjid al-Aqsa throughout the entire duration of the Meccan period. The Muslims were praying towards Masjid al-Aqsa. And then in the Madani period for another year and a half, the Muslims were praying towards Masjid al-Aqsa. So it has great significance in al-Islam. So in any case, Hanna, she wants to dedicate her child, and in her mind, she thinks it's a son. She will deliver a son. And this son will be an abid, a servant in the places of worship. So she gives birth. And to her surprise, she says, Inni wada'tuha untha. I have given birth to a daughter. Now it is the practice of the time then that the women folk would not be in the places of worship. They would not mix with the men. So how is it then that this child of hers can now be, because she made like a vow, that she made a vow that her child would be a servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can that now be carried out in that the women would not be mixing with the men in the places of worship? So then a decision has to be made. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions again this story, and I would recommend you to read these verses in Surah Ali Imran, that it is eventually known that Zakariya alayhi salam, the best of people at that time, Prophet of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Zakariya, is given the responsibility to look after Maryam. Because who was born to the daughter of Imran was Maryam. they named the girl Maryam. And that she was, inshallah ta'ala, going to be a servant, an abidah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it is narrated that Zakariya alayhi salam, that he built like an extension to the temple, to the place of worship, where Maryam alayhi salam, she would have a special place to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the vow would be able to be fulfilled. That her daughter would be taken into the care of Zakariya, bearing in mind that her father had died before she was born as an orphan. And that Zakariya alayhi salam, the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would take care of this great individual that we know as Maryam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam referenced and spoke about the great women of the past, and that only four women of the past achieved perfection on a human level, of course. And that from those women were Asiya, Imra'atu Fir'aun, the wife of Fir'aun, and Maryam bint Imran. That Maryam was also one of those great women who achieved this great status. And moreover, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions again in Surah Ali Imran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala istafaha wa istafa ala nisa' al-alamin, and that she was chosen over the all of women at that time. For any single individual to be chosen over all of creation at that time shows the great status of that particular individual. So when we put two things together here now, we find that we have Zakariya alayhi salam, who has his own story. The best of men at that time, a prophet of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And here he is taking care of the best of women, Maryam alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that the best of men would be looking after the best of women at that particular time. And this is the plan of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So continuing the story, because the Quran is not a history book. It can be said a history in terms of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions things to us from history. But it is not a book of history where people are writing that so-and-so did this and then they did that, and at the age of 14 they went here, and at the age of 15 they went there, and at the age of 16 they went there and they did this and so on. The Quran doesn't mention stories like this, but mentions aham ul-umur, mentions the most important matters for us to know concerning each individual. So the fact that when we speak about Isa alayhi salam, that, well, we know about his birth, and we know about the miracles that occurred when he was born, and then there seems to be a gap of many, 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 many years, maybe up until the age of 30, 31, where Isa alayhi salam is then speaking to his hawariyun, his close companions. So then the person is asking, what happened for 30 years or so? What happened? Whereas, as opposed to you find in the Christian, that they have their Anajil Arba'ah, they have their four Gospels, there's, if you like, some storytelling. The book according to so-and-so, this you know, according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, according to them, whether it was them, Allahu A'lam, we don't know. But somehow they say, well, we have more detail. I mean, this is another another story in itself, authenticity and what goes on. But the narrative of the Quran, for us to understand, is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions the most important things for us to know concerning each of the prophets of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then, of course, we have the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to further enrich and enforce the narrative and story concerning these great prophets. So the status of Maryam alayhi salam is something muttafaqun alayh, agreed upon. And the Islamic narrative, al-qawlu al-haq, the truthful view concerning Maryam alayhi salam, is the truthful one. She is not worshipped as some of the Nasara that they do, nor she accused of illicit behavior, as is, again, other views that exist. But is as Siddiqa, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala named her, the truthful one, who attested to the truth, Now, discussions whether she was a prophet or not is a discussion amongst some of the ulama. However, as-sawab, wallahu alam, the truth, the more correct opinion is that she was not a prophet. But as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala called her, Siddiqa, the truthful one. Now there are many narrations concerning the status of Maryam alayhi salam, mentioned by our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these are the verses that are mentioned in Surah Ali Imran. There is also a chapter, as you well know, Surah Maryam. A chapter of the Quran which has the name of this great woman, the mother of Isa alayhi salam. And in this chapter, you find that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions in some detail the story of Maryam alayhi salam and how she eventually had a son. So we have the backdrop to the story, some khalfiyya, is with regards to where Maryam alayhi salam, the family where she came from, and who looked after her, and who nurtured her and helped her, and the miracles that were helping, or the miracles that were, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aided her when she was very small, very young, that she would receive provisions. She would receive fruits that were found in the summer, that were only found in the winter usually, wal-aks, and also the opposite of that. And even Zakariya alayhi salam, anna laki hatha, how is it that you have this sustenance? قَالَتْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. That this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He provides how and whatever method that He wishes, subhanahu. So there was no doubt a protection, himaya, from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for this great individual. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Maryam, verse number 17, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمْ, and make mention in the book, this Quran, Maryam. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions frequently in this particular chapter. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ. And that you find who is mentioned, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and other prophets, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ. Here mentioned with كُلْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمْ. How does it start? It starts with that she distances herself from her people. إِذَا انْتَبَذَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا مَكَانًا شَرْقِيًّا. She distanced herself from the people. Where did she go? Where did she go? Did she go to Egypt? Did she go to Dimashq in Sham? These are things that are mentioned in Tafasir. Wallahu alam, is that she did not go to these distant places. But she went to a place which was within the vicinity of where the people lived in Baytul Maqdis. East of Baytul Maqdis, wallahu alam. And there she went to worship Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And as mentioned, she took a seclusion from them. She distanced herself from them by taking hijab, as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentioned. And while she was there in seclusion, worshipping Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that Allah jalla wa ala sent to her a messenger, an angel. And that this angel was going to give her glad tidings, as we can now say glad tidings, but to give her some khabar, some information, that would no doubt surprise her, that would take her aback. Because we are talking about from the purest of individuals to live on this earth. From the purest. And what do I mean by purest? I mean those people who were the furthest away from ma'asi and sin and filth and vice. They were away from that. They dedicated themselves to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He sent to Maryam a messenger. فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. But this angel to appear in his original form, and if we know that the story of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he first received the revelation, and then when he went to Khadija radiallahu anha, what state was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in? He was fearful, he was scared, he was shaking, and he needed to be consoled by his wife Khadija sallallahu alaihi wasallam radiallahu anha. So to see an angel in their original form for us is something maybe not many of us can bear. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angel Jibreel alayhi salam to appear in the form of a man. To appear in the form of a man. A well-proportioned individual, not to cause her any harm. The first thing that she says, قَالَتْ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِالرَّحْمَانِ مِنْكَ إِن كُنْتَ تَقِيَّا. That I seek refuge in the most merciful from you, if you should be fearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To see an individual like this in front of her, what is going to happen? She seeks refuge and turns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, it's a reminder for us in situations to turn to Allah jalla wa ala. And Surah Maryam, which bil munasabah, of course, many of those ayat or the ending part was recited in Surah Al-Isha. Surah Maryam, in terms of its overall, if your overall kind of topic, what we're talking about, it talks about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a big focus on the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And there is a big focus on the servants, the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. True and pure rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and true and pure ibadah, worship from the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That what they claim concerning Maryam alayhi salam, that what they make in terms of claim concerning Isa alayhi salam, are all rebuked and refuted. And that their reality of who they are mentioned in this particular story. So Jibreel alayhi salam, he then, after hearing that she's seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and again, what did she say? A'udhu birrahman, I seek refuge in the most merciful. No, a'udhu billah, a'udhu birrahman. Who is the most merciful? So the angel Jibreel alayhi salam, he's there to tell her, to inform her that he says, I am only a messenger from your Lord. To give you information, to give you the news that you are to have a righteous and pure son. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gift you, Allah jalla wa ala will gift you a pure son. So the immediate response from an individual who has never been married, never engaged in such behavior outside marriage, is that how can I have a boy, how can I have a son in which no man has touched me and I have never engaged in illicit behavior? How can this happen? This is the conversation between Maryam and Jibreel alayhi salam. Not just a word that is delivered and gone. There is an exchange of words. And so then Jibreel alayhi salam responds to her that so it will be that your Lord has said that this is something amrun hayyin. This is an easy matter for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that He will make this boy, Isa alayhi salam, وَلِنَجْعَلَهُ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ. And this part of the verse, of course, all the Quran is beautiful and amazing and impacts us in different ways. There are verses that impact us differently to you, to I, to others when we read that, according to different situations that we may be in. But when we talk about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِنَجْعَلَهُ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ, and we will make him a sign for mankind. An ayah. He will be some like signpost, metaphorically, for all of mankind. Who will believe in him correctly, soundly, and who will follow him, and who will believe him in otherwise. And until this day, the niqash, or the discussion, you need to just go to where? Go to Hyde Park Corner, and you'll find the discussions and the debates about who is Isa alayhi salam. Who is this man who no doubt has great importance to the majority of the world, to Muslims, to the Christians, and added that that's the majority of the world in terms of numbers, the majority of world believe in Isa alayhi salam that he has importance. But the reality of this importance, of course, will differ greatly between the Christians and the Muslims. But how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us from back then that he alayhi salam will be a sign for mankind, and also for the future as well, from those chapters or aspects of the life of Isa alayhi salam that have yet to come, that have yet to happen. That this is a matter that was said to Maryam alayhi salam, وَكَانَ أَمْرًا مَقْضِيًّا. This is a matter which has already been decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angels, as is also mentioned, that they came, well, the verse that is mentioned in Surah Ali Imran, it mentions with قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ. That malaika, the angels, they said, O Maryam. Now, is it the angel Jibreel alayhi salam or angels? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions malaika in the plural sense. So what is it? Angels or angel? The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions malaika doesn't mean that loads of angels came to Maryam alayhi salam to give her this information. But rather it was one angel. And that's, of course, how we know it was explained to us in greater detail in Surah Maryam. And this is how we understand the verses of Allah tabarak ta'ala. That a person says, oh, angels came. No, it wasn't angels. But rather one angel came. This is min jins al-malaika. From the malaika, from the creation of the malaika, came, as mentioned in Surah Maryam, the angel Jibreel alayhi salam. And that the angel Jibreel alayhi salam informed her that she was chosen from all of the women of Alameen, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had purified her, and that she should be devout to her Lord, and that she should prostrate and she should bow down with those who are in prayer. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that she would be pregnant. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in a number of places, whether in Surah Tahrim or in Surah Mu'minun, where there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the angel Jibreel to blow into her. But how is the kayfiyyah? What do you mean blow? As it is said, it was a blown in one of her side garments. There was a blowing. Allahu alam kayf. And then that caused her, by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kun fayakun. So Isa alayhi salam came into existence by the word of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, without any intervention of any human being. She was pregnant. And so now, Maryam alayhi salam, an individual, pure, an obedient servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from her young age, who was looked after by Zakariya alayhi salam from a well righteous family. Righteous family, righteous children, good tarbiyah, good nurturing. Then only to find that she is pregnant. How to answer to her people? And what to do now? So this is a big question, and it's a big challenge for her. However, as we know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that while pregnant, she had to be away from her people. and that she was going to give birth alone. To give birth alone. Now, for the fathers that are here, and when your wife was pregnant and you had the bag, you know, packed, ready for the door, next to the door, ready for that moment, whether you're out the phone call or to be woke up in the middle of the night, it's time, panic sets in. And there's two of you, or maybe the father panicking more, Allahu A'lam. But there's a panic, because there's what's going to happen now. So you call the ambulance, you get in the car, you go to the hospital, you have your own room, you have all the machinery at your disposal. Do you want an epidural, which is a form of painkiller when giving birth? Or do you want gas and air? Your choice. Do you want to have a water birth? Do you want, mashallah, the choice, I mean, you've already probably done this before. You know, it's almost, anta fi ni'mah. You are in a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fact that you can have these choices, where you want to give birth, how you want to give birth, pain treatment, all of these things. And you mark this, you know, maybe a month, 2 months, 3 months before it even happens. So when you go there, this is how we want it, like this. Inshallah, if everything kind of goes to plan, that's usually how it happens. There's always that element of fear within yourself because of the unknown, what's the next step, you hope everything goes fine. You know, of course, your wife is the one who gives birth, you are there just to console her, and she's the one who bears all of it, to be honest. You're just there as emotional support, but you know, the hamal, the pregnancy, the giving birth, and the coming days, months, years of looking after that baby, child. It's all upon the mother. Now imagine for a woman who is doing this alone, who's doing that alone, has nobody to console her, to help her, bring this, bring that. All she has is Rabbul Alameen. And to be honest, and the reality is, that sufficed her. And that is enough for anyone. More than enough. And as is mentioned in the story, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sufficed and protected her and gave to her, never left her alone. And so when the pains of childbirth, as is mentioned in the Quran, the pains of childbirth come to her, she had to find a place to rest. She goes to a date tree. And due to the intense situation that she is in, she almost wishes, not almost, she wishes, she said that I died and that I was oblivion, forgotten, that I would not be tested in such a manner. This is not a person wishing to be taken now. This is not a person wishing that I don't want this, but she is wishing that I wasn't here before this happened, to be tested in such a manner. Again, now the ulama have spoken about this particular verse, which is Surah Maryam, verse 23. Can you wish to be killed, wish to die if you're going through a great trial? I mean, there are a hadith in which that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if a person is severely tested, that it is permitted for you to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if death is better for you in this situation, then allow that to be decreed. But if it is better that you continue and to be patient, then decree that for you. But this has its own discussion. But nonetheless, the story is that she was going through a great test, giving birth alone. Now the thoughts, I mean, this is maybe pondering, not to go too far with how you want to think about it, but a person in such a position, no doubt, has to return to her people. We're living in a time where, by and large, when people have children, it's under the umbrella of zawaj, under nikah, there is marriage. You don't find people having, you know, children out of marriage like this at that time. It was a conservative, it was a preserved society. So for a woman to have a baby out of marriage and to have such a high status within the community, it's a long fall, it's a big fall for her. So while she is in this state, having given birth, she is in a state which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the reality of her state. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a verse here, which is in, again, in Surah Maryam. فَنَادَاهَا مِن تَحْتِهَا أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي. There's also a qira'a, فَنَادَاهَا مَن تَحْتَهَا قَدَ جَعْلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيَّا. That there was a call from below her. One opinion is that it was the angel Jibreel alayhi salam who addressed her to say, أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي, that do not grieve, do not be sad, that your Lord has provided beneath you a stream. So you think, a stream? What's the point of a stream? A river that is here. There's also a second opinion, man tahtaha, that in fact it was her son, Isa alayhi salam, who said that to her. Which would be the first mu'ajiza, the first miracle that by Allah's permission that Isa alayhi salam he done while a baby. And there's no strangeness in that, in the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions again also in Surah Al-Ma'idah that he would address people while in the cradle, while as a baby, as a child. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again consoled her, whether Jibreel alayhi salam or her son Isa alayhi salam, and said, Allah tahzani. So if we imagine that she hears this, no doubt, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would console her. And what is around her? There is a stream, there is water, there is sustenance for her. Sustenance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to provide for her. And sustenance, provisions, is not something to be belittled. Just as security is not something to be belittled. Security and provisions, these two. And if you think about the Surah Quraysh, Surah Al-Quraysh, you know Surah Quraysh? لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ إِلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ فَلْيَعْبُدُ رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ. Who knows the Surah? وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفِ أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them provisions and gave them security from any fear. This goes about the importance of provisions and security. If you have that, you have everything that you need in times of fitan. If you think about Gaza now, what do they lack? They lack provisions and they lack no food and no security for them. If they were to ask for two things, these were probably the two things that they ask for first. Give us security, that we're safe, we're not in a place where we can just simply be walking in the street or even told, imagine, go over there, you'll be safe. ويخدعونك. And then they deceive you, and then they bomb you there. The place that you said you were safe, they killed you there as well. They would wish for they would wish for security and provisions. That is never to be belittled, but we may take for granted. Allahumma ansurna ya rabbal alamin. So Maryam alayhi salam is in this position where there is a sustenance, there is the stream, and then there is what? Also to shake the tree, the date palm that is next to you, that there will be provisions, there will be rutub, there will be provisions for you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected her and gave her provisions. Then when strong enough, when old enough, how long that was, wallahu alam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَأَتَتْ بِهِ قَوْمَهَا. Eventually she has to return to her people. And so therefore she goes to her people holding the child, holding the baby, تَحْمِلُ. The first thing that the people there, and who are the people? They are Banu Israel. Banu Israel, who are mentioned extensively in detail in the Quran. Go to Surah Al-Baqarah and start reading. How Allah Tabarak Ta'ala mentions tafasil, the details of Banu Israel. and the trials and tribulations and the difficulties and the su'ubat that our beloved Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that he had to go through. He had a tough time. These are the people there at the time of Maryam. The question, she's holding a baby. Who is the baby? The baby could belong to somebody else. Could be anybody's baby. No, straight away. Ya Maryam, oh Maryam, you have certainly done something unprecedented. We don't know this kind of behavior. We don't know this kind of behavior from our people. It was their opportunity to attack her. Which goes to show what? That the salah or the righteousness of an individual, the history of a person, which in our deen should stand for something. If you know that a person is upright, upstanding on their deen, and somebody says something about them, that history, what we know about them, should have some standing with us. We said, but I only know good about that person. What you have heard, we need to make tahqiq of that. We need to examine what has been said about this person, because the asl or the foundation where I'm starting from is that هذا رجل صالح أو ذي امرأة صالحة. They're a righteous person. That's not going to be changed by something which maybe is true or not. The standing of Maryam in their community was what? Of great standing. But bear in mind that Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam did not or was not given that right, in that he was also attacked and he was killed. And also his son Yahya alayhi salam did not survive and was attacked by the same qawm. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in a number of places, يَقْتُلُونَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ, we're talking about a qawm more sahil. We're not talking about easy people here. يَقْتُلُونَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ, they kill and attempt to kill prophets. We're not dealing with easy people here. This is by Nas al-Qur'an, by the text of the Qur'an. So for them to accuse Maryam, who had such a great stating in her community, we're not surprised really. It's not something we need to be taken aback by. Did you have brought something like this? And then they go on to explain to her, Ya Ukhta Harun, oh sister of Harun. And who is this Harun? Who is this Harun? Prophet Harun alayhi salam? It's unlikely that is what they meant. Was Harun rather a righteous individual amongst them people that they knew at that time? Possible. That's an opinion that is mentioned. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked as well, that the people at the time would be referred to the salihun, would be referred back to the righteous of their people. So they said to her, oh sister of the righteous one, here the name is Harun, your father wasn't a bad man, your mother wasn't a fornicator. Imagine saying this to such a pure person. Your father was not a man who committed this kind of behavior. Your mother was not a person who committed such behavior. What behavior? Zina. That's the accusation, clear and cut. But again, as I mentioned, it's not surprising. مَنَا تَعَجَّبْ that a qawm, this particular qawm, would attack the salihun in such a manner. Attack the irv, attack their honor. So here we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again in Surah Maryam. And I may be going through the story fairly quickly. Maybe for some of them, you know, you're going too slow. In any case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in the most beautiful way here, this incident here in Surah Maryam. So as I mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that she came holding the baby to the people, and they accused her of this filthy act. So if we are aware that Isa alayhi salam had already spoken to her, Allah tahzani, had already spoken to her while she was in a very difficult time alone. For her, when she says, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ, that when you're speaking to such a belligerent people, a difficult people, that even if you said the truth, they're not going to believe you anyway, that the more you speak, the more you give them fuel to attack you. So she alayhi salam, simply points to her child. She's holding the baby Isa alayhi salatu salam. And so their reply is quite simply, كَيْفُ نُكَلِّمُ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الْمَهْدِ صَبِيَّ. How are we supposed to speak to a child who is in the cradle, who is a babe? What do you mean? Because it was understood what was meant. Because they were expecting a response from her. And so the response, she says, she points to the child. How are we going to speak to a child? The first two responses that Isa alayhi salam that he gives is a refutation of Ahlul Kitab, ala tul, straight away. He responds, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ, I am a servant of Allah, not to be worshipped. آتاني الكتاب, and he gave me revelation that I am a prophet, not a false prophet. So the first two responses of Isa alayhi salam is a refutation, a response to that what would come later, that what he would be falsely accused of, or how people would falsely worship him, عياذاً بالله, that he is a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he has been given the kitab, وَجَعْلَنِي نَبِيًّا. 10 things are mentioned in this response, by the way. 10 things are mentioned as a response. So number one is that he, alayhi salam, is إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ, I'm a servant of Allah. أَتَانِي الْكِتَابَ وَجَعْلَنِي نَبِيًّا, and I'm given revelation and I am a prophet. Number two, وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكَ, and I am made as a blessed individual. Number four, وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ, and I've been commanded to establish the prayer. Number five, وَالزَّكَى مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّا, and also to establish giving charity as long as I am alive. وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي, and to be obedient to my mother. Number seven, وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا, and did not make me as a belligerent and an oppressor and a wrongdoer. That was number eight. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وُلِدْتُ, and peace be upon me the day that I was born. وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ, and the day that I will die. وَيَوْمَ أُبْعَثُ حَيَّا, and the day أُبْعَثُ حَيَّا, that I will be raised alive. 10 things that are mentioned here. ذَلِكَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that is Isa ibn Maryam. That's the reality of how we believe and we know Isa ibn Maryam. قول الحق, the statement of truth, الذي فيه يمترون, this is the statement of truth in which that the matter they are differing and denying. This is who Isa alayhi salatu salam, who he is. And here we find, as Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum says, that then Isa alayhi salam did not speak again in the Mahd. He did not speak while as a child again. Wallahu a'lam. And then we find later on in the life of Isa alayhi salam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the mu'jizat, tells us about the miracles that were given to Isa alayhi salatu salam. And that when at approximately around the age of 30, that Isa alayhi salam begins to teach his people the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and reminds his people there that he has been given knowledge of the Torah, that what was given to Musa alayhi salam, and as we know that what was given to Isa alayhi salam is Al-Injil. We call it Injil, it was just Injil. They call it the gospel. But that what they have now, these gospels, is not what was revealed to Isa alayhi salam. These books is not what was revealed to Isa alayhi salam. The Injil was a book of revelation given to Isa alayhi salam, which is now we don't have with us. So he is there, Isa alayhi salam, teaching his people. Remember what they had accused his mother of. And so he, alayhi salam, is teaching his people, وَيُكَذِّبُونَهُ, and they deny him, and they mock him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him miracles to cure the diseased, to cure the ill, to bring back the life or the dead to life, to cure the diseases of leprosy and whatnot, to inform them that what would they would be eating in their homes and that what they would be keeping away secret. Information that nobody would know. This was information, mu'jizat, that was given to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, but they rejected. And so then is mu'amarat, there is now plans and plotting. There is plots from the same people who would accuse his mother of such illicit behavior, who had killed prophets in the past, alayhim salam, once again wanted to kill Nabiullah Isa alayhi salam. So they made up akadhib, they made up lies to the authorities, with the Romans, who were the authority at the time. And here there are many Israeliyat that are mentioned. In any case, as to what was to happen to Isa alayhi salam, فَلَمَّا أَحَسَّ عِيسَ مِنْهُمُ الْكُفْرِ, when Isa alayhi salam felt that kufr now was disbelief, rejection was rife amongst them. And this is mentioned towards the end of Surah Saf. قَالَ مَنْ أَنْصَارِي إِلَى اللَّهِ, who are my companions? Who is it that will believe in me and follow me? And he had a number of companions and believers who followed Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. نَحْنُ أَنْصَارَ اللَّهِ, we are the helpers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a group of Banu Israel believed. وَكَفَرَ الطَّائِفَ, and there was also another group of Banu Israel that they disbelieved. So we say Banu Israel, we're not talking about all of them, oh, أَشَرَّ النَّاسِ, the most evil of people. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testifies that some of them, they believed in the prophets. Some of them believed in Musa alayhi salam. Some of them believed in Isa alayhi salatu salam. The others rejected and disbelieved or belligerent. So as we know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was then to, the story of Isa alayhi salam up until this time on this earth was going to come to an end. So how did this happen? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in Surah An-Nisa, in Surah An-Nisa, the fourth chapter in the Quran. So as we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs Isa, إِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى, Isa alayhi salam is informed, إِنِّي مُتُوَفِّيك وَرَافِعُكَ إِلَيْ, that I will mutawafiq, and those of course who have been following the meaning of mutawafiq, what does this mean? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused Isa alayhi salam to die and he was raised up, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمُضَهِّرُكَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, and you were purified from those who disbelieved in you, وَجَعِلُوا الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوكَ فَوْقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, and that those who followed you will also be purified and raised levels until the day of judgment. Was Isa alayhi salam, was he caused to die as you and I, we die and then eventually we will resurrect it? Of course there are aqwal, there are meaning or differences of opinion concerning the meaning of mutawafiq, tawaffa, which is the origin word what we're talking about here. So tara, at times it means yes, al-mawt al-haqiqi, it means yeah, absolute death. And at times it also means, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers it to, being like in a sleep state. And when you sleep, that your soul is taken, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls this, يتوفى الأنفس, when you are sleeping. And then the soul is returned to you. And then it's not real death. It's like a, it's called death, but like a semi-death, but not like the death as when your soul is taken and not returned. So what is the meaning? I guess there are, of course, iddat tafasir, number of tafasir, and you can go back to this. But as Imam al-Tabari, Imam al-Mufassirin, mentions that as-sawab, that the true meaning, the correct meaning, is that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was not caused to die the death that you and I will face, but is a semi-death, like sleep and then raised up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هذا هو الصواب والله أعلم. That is the most correct opinion on the matter. And so as is mentioned, again, as I said in Surah An-Nisa, as there is a claim of قولهم, and that they claimed that we killed the Masih. We killed the Masih, we crucified him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rebukes that. وَمَا قَتَلُوا وَمَا صَلَبُوا, that they did not kill him, they did not crucify him, but it was made to appear to them so. وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. Now what does this mean? It was made to appear to them. Again, there are different views as to what is the reality of that, because the Quran doesn't detail that, but tells us that it was made to appear to them so. But the Nusus are very clear to us. They did not kill him, meaning what? He did not die. وَمَا صَلَبُوا, that he did not go on the cross either. But it was made to appear to them so. I mean, they thought they'd done it. They thought they had achieved it. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ يَقِينًا, that they did not in complete certainty do this. But he was raised up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what the aqwal is as to how this happened is that Isa alayhi salam was with his companions and was... One of them was asked that, who will take my place? Because they want to do this to me. And one of them said, I will take your place. And this individual looked very much like Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and therefore was crucified in place of Isa, who was raised up to the heavens. That's oppression. This poor soul, this miskin who was placed in this position, what was his dhanb? What was his sin? Well, I guess that's one way of looking at it. Another way would be, as we know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not oppress anyone. And anyone who gives their life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as mentioned, in fact, it was mentioned on the minbar today by the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, whoever gives their life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not feel the pain that you and I may feel that the person is feeling. The shaheed, the martyr, does not feel the prick of the thorn when they leave this dunya. But what a reward that person would face if that was exactly what happened. So this is one of aqwal. Again, there are many tafasir mentioned to that. Suffice to say, it was made to appear to them so, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala raised Isa alayhi salam into the heavens. And we know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the Isra Mi'raj, he met Isa alayhi salam and described Isa alayhi salam. This is the story of Isa alayhi salam بإختصار شديد, a very concise story of Isa alayhi salam. And I've been talking for a long time, but I wanted to mention in some brevity that, as I mentioned, that the story of Isa alayhi salam, there were many things yet to happen. The appearance of a Dajjal, and that when Isa alayhi salam, when he comes, that he, upon when Dajjal sees Isa alayhi salam in Philistine, he will like begin to melt like salt. And then Isa alayhi salam with a spear will take down the Dajjal. The Dajjal, who would have been on earth, created more fitan than you can ever imagine. This is the demise of the Dajjal. There is a very good book called Asharat al-Sa'ah, The Signs of the Hour by Sheikh Wabil. And the last part of that book is dealing with Isa alayhi salatu salam. Has been translated to English actually. And the book is The Dajjal and the Return of Jesus. You can find it, and it's a translation of a very, very good book. So we've mentioned the topic of Isa alayhi salam being raised up into the heavens. And to be honest, on this matter, there are various ahadith from being ranged from being both in Bukhari and Muslim, or either in Bukhari alone, or in Sahih Muslim alone, or in the books of Sunan, that the matter of Isa alayhi salam returning towards the end of time has reached the level of at-tawatur. Islamic scholarship, it has reached the level of at-tawatur. Meaning it's undeniable. It is undeniable the amount of ahadith, narrations concerning the return of Isa alayhi salam, and that what happens in his life in the destruction and the killing of ad-Dajjal and his followers, and Ya'juj wa Ma'juj, again we didn't mention that as well, in the life of Isa alayhi salam, has reached the level of at-tawatur. And when Isa alayhi salam, when he returns, as is mentioned in the sound hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he said, Isa alayhi salam will soon descend amongst you and rule as a just ruler, will break the cross, kill the pig, and there will be no jizya. And there will wealth be in such abundance, so much wealth, that nobody will accept it. And a single prostration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be better than the whole world and that what is in it. That when Isa alayhi salam comes, will establish justice and will implement the sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is Isa alayhi salam, when he returns, a Nabi? Absolutely, yes, a Nabi. The title of a Nabi was not removed from him alayhi salam, but he will be there to implement the wahi of that what we know in the Quran and the Sunnah. Imam al-Tabari, as I mentioned, the great Mufassir, he says this is a matter not to be denied, that has reached the level of a tawatur. And also, if you read through the ulama, through centuries of scholarship, centuries, more than 1,000 years, 1,200 years of ulama preserving the sunnah, explaining the sunnah, talking about the coming back of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and all declaring, making very clear what is part of the creed enshrined in the aqeed of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah about the return of Isa. Tasawwar, imagine a person says, there is no Isa coming back. Ayyudin hadha? Ayyudin? What deen are you referring to? What deen are you referring to, or you think that you are following, to say that you deny more than 1,200 years of scholarship? Mafi Isa. No Isa. طيب who kills Dajjal? Well, Ya'juj wa Ma'juj. Ayyudin hadha? Or in fact that when Isa alayhi salam comes and breaks the cross, kills the pig, that what was taken besides Allah tabaraka ta'ala will be made abundantly clear that what was upon previously was batil, was false. So these are matters which for us as Muslims, and as I mentioned, this is a very good book actually, that you should read and have a good and clear understanding, because it is something that wallahu a'lam, maybe in your lifetime, your children's lifetimes, your grandchildren, maybe in their lives, wallahu a'lam, something like this may happen. Well, it may happen, it will happen, but may happen in your life or the generation after, or Allahu a'lam when. But to be ala diraya, be upon ma'rifah, be upon clear knowledge as to how we should behave and what will happen. And further enforces the beauty of al-Iman, the great gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with, in knowing what happened in the past with a surety, and knowing what happened with a surety, what's happening now, and that what will happen in the future with a surety, with yaqeen, that this will happen without any need for some individual to come with some subjective opinion that maybe this, maybe that. Man, and we don't need your opinions. What we need is clear texts from Quran and Sunnah informing us of that, what has happened already, what is happening now, and that what will happen. And that ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala bithabat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yuthabbituka ala al-haq. So we ask Allah jalla wa ala an yuthabbitna ala al-haq. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us from fitan, ma zahara minha wa ma batan, those apparent and hidden fitan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yarzuqna ilman nafi'a, that Allah gives us beneficial knowledge and keeps us away from ilmun la yanfa, from knowledges that don't benefit. And with this, inshallah ta'ala, conclude. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.